It had a gaping hole in its stomach. It appeared to be insane. The three original entities laughed evilly as other balls of light began to move ominously around the room. I can't read this. Shall I? Then another of the golf ball-sized lights began the materialization process, resulting in a fifth entity. This one was completely black and totally repugnant. Its body was burned and it appeared to have been cremated. To this spectacle of three berserk laughing entities and two recently materialized monsters was added a sixth. This corruption stood over 8 feet tall with only one eye, looked neither like a man nor animal, though it too stood on cloven feet and had horns protruding from its skull. Then a seventh entity showed, perhaps even more ghastly than the rest. This entity's head was split open in the middle, as was its face. Blood dripped down from the eyes. It had one arm and only three fingers. One leg had a hoof. The other leg was cut off 2 inches below the knee. David was terrified as groups of inhuman beings began to materialize. Some had lizard-like features, while others had small heads with grotesque protruding snouts. Some of their bodies were half burned. Others had eyes gouged out or limbs hacked off. Others were cadaverous and desiccated with protruding bones and skulls, and still they kept coming with ghastly disfigurements and distortions of face, body, limb. Indeed, what David saw was no less than a legion of devils. In all, 40 new entities appeared that night. Each was a unique, individual monstrosity, with the original thing and the two previous bloody monstrosities that had materialized with him and entered the house, 43 of all, in all. Worst of all, every one of them would stay. Just like the Donovan case, they couldn't get an exorcist to come. They made application to the church. The Warrens had come. The research was done. The verification. The terrible events continued. Doctor examined the boy. He began to be brutalized and choked. Marks on his body, much like the Philippine case. Analyzed whether it was a psychosomatic happening. Finally, the church was convinced an exorcism was necessary. The priest arrived. Do you want to hear this? You think you can take it? The devil in Connecticut by Gerald Brittle, Bantam Books. If this is not true and is being peddled as truth, it's criminal. The events precede and are around the ultimate murder conviction of Arnie, who, as the exorcism appeared about to result in the death of David, cried for the devil to possess him to free the boy. He commits a murder, and his defense was the devil in him made him do it. We're leaving some people again. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm just going to go out talking. I'm not going to be interrupted anymore. The priest came, several of them, for the exorcism. One by one, the priests donned their purple stoles. Wait a minute. The The afternoon of September 8th, while the other children of Brookville were beginning a new school year, David Glatzel was brought to the convent house by his mother, his sister, and Alan, waiting at the convent with the Warrens and four priests. Once everyone was settled, the doors were locked, the drapes were drawn, and David was seated in a large armchair. The objective, both simple and complex, was to read the rite of exorcism to the possessed child, because he became possessed. That's what the book's about, as it got worse and worse. To read the rite of exorcism to the possessed child from beginning to end without resistance or interference. The procedure was supposed to take an hour. In the end, it took 2 hours. As anticipated, possession was not inflicted on David that day. He was fatigued but cooperative. The priest stood in a semicircle in front of the boy and began reading the prescribed introductory prayers. However, David told them immediately that the spirits were not present. They were at the house causing havoc. The proceedings were stopped and Ed Warren was dispatched to deal with the entities at the Glatzel house. When I got to the house, I found two of the Glatzel's relatives, older people, sitting wide-eyed in the kitchen, Ed said. Just from the look of them, I knew something had happened. I suggest that most of you just stay home and listen to me every night. I mean, you never know who or what's going to happen when you call on. I walked into the living room, and the black rocking chair was going back and forth, full tilt. No one was sitting in it. Glatzel's relatives were there. God forgive me for laughing. I then walked down the hallway of the house, looked in each of the bedrooms. Everything seemed in order except the Glatzel's master bedroom. The bed looked too high. When I took a second look, I saw it was levitating about 6 inches off the floor. This is Ed Warren talking. I stepped into the room and immediately felt swamped by a sense of dread evil. Suddenly the bed began to shake violently, the legs slamming onto the floor when they hit. It was shocking. The phenomenon lasted 30 seconds. It was a defiant show of force. Once the display of activity stopped, transferring the entities out of the house was basically a simple matter of placing a blessed object from the convent inside the Glatzel home. Now this is going to bother all kinds of Protestants. They say to me, are you going to be a Catholic? No. I never say the Catholic was a... I'm not that evangelist that says that God doesn't hear the prayers of Catholics. All I got to say is these evangelists that are dumping on the Catholics spend more time dumping on sinners than these Catholics are out there dumping on demons. At least these people know who the enemy is. Well, some of their critics in the evangelical church world are shooting the wounded Christians. I mean, there's got to be a moral to this. I still don't believe the holy water and the holy objects have all that much importance. The key is faith and the ancient authority that God granted to those who express faith in his name. Now, embellish the lily all you want. But I'm just reading the story. I mean, I'd rather have Ed and Lorraine Warren, who know who the enemy is, sitting beside me than some TV evangelist spitting on me and cursing me because I smoke a pipe. Once the display of activity stopped, transferring the entities out of the house was basically a simple matter. When Ed Warren returned, David reported the spirits were now in the convent, all of them. Strange thumps and movements of furniture both in and above the day room confirmed this. These unexpected diversions took a full hour to resolve. Finally, at 3 o'clock, the exorcism began in earnest. It was the same lengthy reading attempted in the chapel on September 2nd. What happened on September 2nd? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I want you to see the whole exorcism because it was so tough. On Tuesday, September 2nd, they failed once. A classic exorcism took place in Brookfield Center. That's why they brought four priests next time. The site of the exorcism was the altar of St. Joseph's School Chapel. At 1 o'clock, Father Vergulic arrived at the school and met with Fathers Grosso, Malia, and D. Giovanni. Father Vergulic would be the exorcist. The three other priests would carry out specific functions as his assistants. It was a serious moment in the lives of all four priests, and after talking, they repaired to the chapel to pray. For days, David was completely out of control, says Ed Warren, and as the exorcism date grew closer, his behavior grew worse. When Lorraine and I arrived at the Glatzel's house at 1:30 that afternoon to take the family to the church, David was fully under possession and holding his grandmother, who was visiting from out of state at Knife Point. The possessing entity was speaking through David and went into an abusive rampage when it saw us, threatening me, showering Lorraine with vulgarities. David's father took advantage of the distraction, grabbing his son's wrist and wrestling the knife from him. A few seconds later, growling and spitting and biting, the entity in David attacked everyone. He said, I can't believe this. Isn't this about like that demoniac by the Sea of Galilee? If you believe the New Testament. To get David to the church, we had to tackle, subdue, and tie him into a chair with sheets. You suppose that was child abuse? No, I'm serious. Psychology wouldn't work much here, would it? I'm not recommending it. I guess, you know, this is justified because the kid held his grandma at knife point. Although the body of the child was bound, the entity was not. It continued to speak and shout. David's lips never moved. His eyes never blinked, his muscles never flexed, but flaming threats and accusations continued to pour out of his body in a husky man's voice. You will never cast me out. You bleeps will never win. The priests will go. I'll never obey. You're all blit for hell. Mommy, please untie my arms. Please, Mommy, the sheets hurt. I'll get you. You win, let me free, I'll give you what you want. You'll be sorry for this, all your hands will be full. Alternately, David's voice and the husky man's voice. It was this uncontrollable fury, this dynamo of evil that broke the monastic quiet of the school chapel that Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. You know, these priests ought to be locatable. Grosso, Malia, D. Giovanni, and Father Vergulic. In fact, the first priest that was brought in was very famous. The one that blessed the house. Very famous priest. David was under possession. And that which possessed him was maniacally enraged. Now untied, David was forcibly ushered into the chapel by his father and Ed Warren. The strength the boy exerted under possession was enormous. David was brought to a pew in the front row, where the four priests stood waiting. The priests were dressed in black day clothes, over which was worn a white surplice and a purple stole, the prescribed dress for an exorcist. Both Carl and Judy Glatzel were present. These people ought to be locatable. The pictures are right here in the book. Here they are. No, the lower picture. Here's a picture of David coming under possession. Here's David fighting off unseen hands which are threatening to strangle him. Here's struggling while under possession. Arnie and Debbie trying to record his words while he's under possession. Undergoing possession. David was brought to a pew in the front row where the four priests stood waiting. Carl and Judy Glatzel were present, as were Debbie, Arnie, and Alan. The Warrens attended in a professional capacity. The planned ritual consisted of first anointing all the individuals with holy oils for protection. Then a reading of prayers and psalms, the discernment of entities, the casting out of those entities by the exorcist, and last a final blessing of thanksgiving for the release of a mortal soul from the bondage to the eternal enemy. Theoretically, the rite was a peaceful one. If a ruckus ensued, humans would not be the cause of it. The anointing oils proceeded out with incident. The preliminary prayers came next. But the possessing entity in David didn't let a statement go by without a vulgar rebuttal. Jesus is a blank. By the end of the introductory prayer, David broke loose from Ed Warren's grasp and sought to attack the priest physically. The possessed child was caught, restrained, and brought back to the pew, snorting and growling and struggling. The reading continued. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them that hate the Lord Almighty flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. The voice came out of David. Shut up, you pious fool, you bunch of mother, you foul swine, you. Silence, Father Vergilak demanded. Did you like it when I blew out your light bulb? Ha ha ha, hee hee hee. The priest was astonished. A few nights earlier, the bulb in Father Vergilak's desk lamp had inexplicably exploded, showering him with bits of glass. Silence, Father Grosso commanded. Don't you dare command me, you ape, you swine, you bleeping slob. This is for you. Father Grosso suddenly flinched. The entity had projected a slash. And when the priest pulled up his pant cuff, the blood was running down his leg. These priests ought to be locatable for my Ghostbusters squad. You want me to quit?
No, sir.
Father Vergilak continued reading the prayers. Anybody back in Connecticut know any of these priests? I'd sure like to get to the bottom of this. Father Vergilak continued reading the prayers above the shouts and catcalls of the possessing entity. Failing at verbal disruption, David got loose again and was pinned down at the foot of the altar. After nearly an hour, the boy still exhibited inexhaustible strength and indefatigable resistance to the exorcism. Ed, Arnie, and Alan held David at the foot of the altar as Father Vergilak then began reading the commands of exorcism. Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they were come to the multitude, having come down, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Verse 21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Mark's account is, one of the multitude answered him and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And then he said, he's a kid. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus answered unto him, or said unto him, if thou canst believe, faith is the word really, derivative of pisteo, all things are possible to him that faitheth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I faith, help my, literally, apistis, disbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up with the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth but nothing but prayer and fasting. Must be important. All these different Gospels. Luke, came to pass on the next day, they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring the son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down, tearing. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. I don't believe in holy water and all that, you say. I don't believe the Lord answers prayers of Catholics and Jews, one evangelist said. I get mad every time I think about it. Self-righteous, judgmental preachers. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. We forbade him because he followeth not with us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. He that is not against us is for us. I mean, when you're at war and somebody's shooting the enemy alongside of you, you're going to tell him to stop because he uses holy water on his weapons? I told you, if I were in Ed Warren's office and that black mass appeared there, and there's a Bhagavad Gita text, I'd pick it up and throw it at him. I know my Bible well enough to know that it's faith, prayer, fasting, and claiming the authority of the name which is above every name that forever settled in heaven. The word is claimed that every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, including Beelzebub and all his crowd. But other people have faith in some of the adjuncts. And they don't even know, some of them, where those adjuncts were added on to the church. But they know who the enemy is, and that's more than I can say for a lot of my Protestant friends. Friends in quotes. Did you like it when I blew out your light bulb? Ha 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 ha! Hee hee! The priest was astonished. A few nights earlier, the bulb in Father Vergiluck's desk lamp had inexplicably exploded, showering him with bits of glass. Silence, Father Grosso demanded. Don't you dare command me, you ape, you swine, you bleeping slob. This is for you. Father Grosso suddenly flinched. The entity had projected a slash. And when the priest pulled up his pant cuff, blood was running down his leg. Father Vergiluck continued reading the prayers above the shouts and catcalls of the possessing entity. David got loose again, was pinned down at the foot of the altar. After nearly an hour, the boy still exhibited inexhaustible strength and indefatigable resistance to the exorcism. Ed, Arnie, and Alan held David at the foot of the altar as Father Vergiluck then began reading the commandments of exorcism. Behold the cross of the Lord. Flee, bands of enemies. We drive you from us. Whoever you may be, unclean spirits, satanic powers, infernal invaders, wicked legions, in the name and by the virtue of our Lord Jesus Christ, depart from this Lamb of God. Doesn't matter what else he did. All the rest is preparation. Maybe it helped the priest more than it helped the boy. Here's the cannon to be fired. But it's got to be fired with faith and with unflinching authority and with an attitude of those in Hebrews 11 willing to die not having obtained the promise. I've taught you faith reaches up and grabs God's word forever settled in heaven and makes up your mind you will die hanging on to it. You will live where God's word rules, either here or there. Nothing else. Don't ever bluff these beings. The entity in David, however, turned wild. The words won't do it by themselves. It spit profusely over Father Vergiluck, Father Grosso, and Ed Warren. It bit and cursed and shrieked and howled. Blasphemies and profanities echoed unceasingly around the church. Fortunately, the doors were all securely locked, though the being could get out to stay in and with David. David couldn't. Father Vergiluck returned again and again to the commands of exorcism. The entity in opposition responded with a litany of sins it accused the others of committing, while accusing the priests of engaging in every kind of sexual perversity imaginable. They'll attack you on your sins. Give them the perfect salute I've taught you, and in the name of Jesus, attack.
This is the end of Side 5. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for Side 6. Thank you.